It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are continuing our program in Vermilion County with a lot of hot air. Balloons Over Vermilion is in its ninth year, though there was an earlier balloon festival in the area a few decades ago. The main events are today and tomorrow, but last night there was a smaller gathering and an informal competition for balloonists and their crews. Around 5 p.m. Thursday, we gather at a farm northeast of Danville. It's owned by Dean Carlton, himself a balloonist. He's the man who seems to be in charge. We'll also probably hear a little bit in here from his golden retrievers, who were up close for the interviews. They are Kenobi, Anakin, and Jake. All
right. So what can we expect today?
Waiting and watching.
Yeah.
Which is what we always do. Even when the weather's perfect, waiting and watching is...
Yeah, there's a little storm out west, right?
Yeah, but if you look at it, it's not moving. Mm. All of these are heat generated. And part of that is the heat of the city. There's a lot of asphalt, a lot of things that retain heat, and that heat goes up, and the heat is what feeds the storm. That's storm fuel. So it needs heat and humidity.
The heat right. Island effect, is that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll wait. While we do, I talk with Dean about the technology of modern balloons. Pilots have to be FAA certified, as with any other aircraft. They typically have an iPad and other high-tech gadgets with them. The baskets are wicker. The envelope, that's the actual balloon part, the envelope is typically made of nylon. The balloon gets lift from heat differential. They warm the air inside the envelope hotter than what's outside. The heat to do that comes from burning propane, basically a larger version of what you might use to grill your dinner tonight. It's come a long way from the first manned balloon flights in 1783.
The difference was they made their envelopes out of silk or paper. They had an open fire in the middle of the basket made out of straw and tar, and they actually thought that smoke gave lift. They thought smoke was the lift, not the differential of density. So they would add anything to make it smokier. Tar, soot. I mean, they came out black. And they didn't have really any controls. When the fire went out, they were done. You know, we can add and subtract. So hot air ballooning was the first aircraft ever invented. But it didn't survive very long in the early days because it was just not a very practical way of flying. Shortly after that, gas ballooning was determined and they started flying hydrogen.
Okay.
And other lighter than air gases. And that was, believe it or not, that was simpler and safer than the roaring fire in the middle of the wooden basket with the paper envelope with tied by ropes.
Yeah.
Before I let Dean go, I check back in on the weather.
It needs to cool down about 10 degrees. Based on my gut and intuition, we need the sun to get lower and quit generating heat and drop the temperature some. And then I think you'll see these pop-up storms go away. But right now, these would be, we would stay on the ground and watch.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at my phone now and 86 degrees at present. 40% chance of rain in the next hour, maybe, but
60% chance
all right.
of not rain. So you have to think that way. That's how balloon.
That's the half full. The half full balloon.
Gotta
yes.
Got to be on the positive side.
While we wait, I talk to some of the other pilots who are gathering on Dean's farm. Glenn O'Connell is one of just over 100 official RE/MAX balloon pilots. You know, the real estate company with the actual balloon as its logo.
So you are? Do you work with RE/MAX just as a balloon pilot?
Yes.
Or are you also a real estate agent?
We're splitting that right down the middle. Okay. Agents can be agents and pilots can be pilots.
Okay.
I don't really know of anybody that crosses over. So,
how do you get to be the RE/MAX balloon pilot? It's such an iconic balloon.
It's handed down to you.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to know people. You just don't, you know, fill out an application to become a RE/MAX. So, you know, you have to be experienced. You have to know how corporate works. So basically, I flew with another gentleman that had our contract for 2 years so I could get indoctrinated in how it all works, all the ins and outs and billing and all that kind of stuff. And then it's just a matter of he retired and I took over and away we go.
How often are you personally in a basket carrying the torch for RE/MAX?
I like to, 2 or 3 times a week, but it is one of those things. I'm out of the Chicago area and our weather's horrible every evening. it's virtually unflyable.
Huh.
You know, because
has that always been that way?
Yeah, it's getting worse. Lake Michigan controls our weather, so it's cold, dense air, and then we're nice and warm inland where I, you know, live.
Yeah.
And so as that warm air leaves us in the evening, that cold air comes in like a cold front, and it comes in at 10 to 15 miles an hour every night.
Wow.
And that just stops any kind of flying.
Okay.
So coming down here to Danville, there is no Lake Michigan, so you can actually fly evenings, and I love to fly evenings.
The grass here outside the farm is filling up with pretty big Ford Econoline vans, some of them extended, kind of thing you get if you have six children. More streaming in. It's 5:22 now. Our go, no-go time, I'm told, is about 7:15, so we watch the sky and we wait.
Hi, I'm Donna Carlton Vish.
Nice to meet you. So you're a pilot, it says on your shirt?
I am a pilot. I fly the balloon that's here. It's called Sunny Side Up. I know you can't see it on the radio, but it's got two sunbursts on each side. It's mostly yellow, and then the colors of the rainbow coming down from the top and going up from the bottom.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
Thank you.
How did you get into ballooning?
So we had an event here in the 80s, started in the 80s and went through to early 2000s, called Balloon Classic. Danville Balloon Classic, and my family sponsored a balloon, and we got to take a ride, and we got to crew, and we got to hang out with all the pilots, and it was a lot of fun. So once my children were basically grown, I said, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. I've been a pilot for 25 years now.
That's amazing. Has it changed a lot in that time?
We have developed a lot more ways to see safety. Everyone attempted to be safe. We used all the measures that we had. We also have a lot better weather opportunity measurements and so on. And of course, we have GPS now. We can't steer our balloons, but at least we can know where we're going, and our crew can follow us with a program called Glimpse, or one of those, there's several of them.
Like a chase car.
They are a chase car. Oh, yeah. They've always done that. Even if your radios were dead, they would look to the sky and chase you, because that's, you got to pick us back up. So be kind to your crew, because if you aren't, they might just leave you out in the field.
is this an expensive hobby?
Yes, it can be. It's not as expensive as...
Is that a rude question? I'm sorry.
No, it's not as expensive as sailboating, you've got a big old sailboat. But it's, it's not your average hobby cost. So, yeah.
All right.
Detail.
We're going to have us a briefing. I need the pilots within visual range here. Everybody else can hang in here close to me. For those who aren't as familiar with ballooning, this is called waiting. We do a lot of waiting when we're watching the weather.
He goes over the weather again. After a little more conversing, the decision is made to launch a pie ball, essentially the kind of balloon you'd have at a kid's birthday party.
It's pie ball. Pie ball! Pie ball coming at you! Pie ball! Pie ball is a pilot balloon. So the pie ball will tell us what the real direction is. We've got all kinds of technology, all kinds of maps, all kinds of internet stuff, but there's nothing like watching a balloon go in the air. So we're all going to count down from three. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, pie ball!
The balloon goes up, it starts moving, both good things. Gives the pilot some information they need about wind, speed, and direction. Those storms that were on the horizon earlier are also beginning to break up, so the decision is made to release the pilots, find launch sites. I am assigned to a man named Walt.
Yeah, Walter Rudy.
Mark,
Walt,
do you have
Rudy.
Room for one more crew member?
We live in Ohio now. We've been out there for over 20 years, and grew up in Rantoul. Worked as a paramedic through all central Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, Bloomington Normal, Springfield, Decatur, and then...
I didn't say you could leave yet.
Graduated from Illinois.
Illinois is my, I'm an alum from Illinois. It's my alma mater. So,
lot at the boat club right now.
Once we are released to leave, we get in their van, we drive to a launch site, and everybody gets to work. Walt's crew is chiefed by his wife, Deb, and it also includes his son, Ben, Ben's wife, Shannon, their daughter, their youngest daughter, Heather, and a man named Dean. And they are all getting the basket ready, connecting the hoses, unfurling the envelope. After all that's done, there are a pair of giant gasoline-powered fans brought out, which immediately start puffing up the balloon. That's when Walt gives me the safety talk.
What we're doing now is we're doing cold inflation, which means we're putting cold air in the balloon and it inflates on its side. Then we'll add the heat and that'll make it stand up. What you want to be careful is you can stand either in front of the fan or behind the fan. You don't want to stand in the plane of the fan.
Good to know.
Okay. Once you hear the burners, that's when you come up to the basket.
Okay.
And then, well, everyone who's available will hold on to the basket. And there's a step here that you'll use to get in.
Okay.
And it's like riding a horse. Okay. You put it in and flip your leg over. Okay.
Sounds good.
It's not the most dainty thing, but you know what? It makes for good YouTube videos. Okay.
After a few more minutes of that, the fans are powered down. The heat from the propane burners is shocking. From 10, 20 feet away, you can feel it. As the air warms inside the envelope, the basket is lifted upright. The crew grabs on to make sure it stays on the ground.
Do you need another hand?
Go to the end of the tie-off.
What can I do?
Well, I'm going to have you step in. Yeah.
I climb in, and I got to say, Walt was right. This probably would make for a hilarious YouTube video. As Shannon gives me another reminder of the safety instructions, Walt disconnects the tether that had been holding us to the front of his van.
Keep weight on. I'm releasing.
Another couple blasts of propane. Walt kisses his wife goodbye.
Hell off. Bye.
Bye. Have a good one. We're out of here. Have a good one.
Thank you. And we're up.
We rise up over the tree line. I can now see several other balloons in the air, a few on the ground, filled just moments away from takeoff. Every pilot's on a different course. Some are higher, some are lower. We are on the low side.
So can you talk me a little through, I don't know what the term would be, the airmanship, avionics, when do you decide to fire? What's going through your mind right now?
Oh, basically, in order to fly level, we have to have a neutral buoyancy. You know, if we have a positive buoyancy, we would climb, and if we have a negative buoyancy like we have now, we'll descend.
We are definitely below the level of some of the tree points.
We are.
We just passed it.
Yeah.
And that is the sound of us scraping the treetops.
Better to be scraping the treetops instead of the tree bottoms, right?
Our objective had been to go over Lake Vermilion. There was an informal competition involving dropping rubber ducks on a boat, but the winds changed. That wasn't going to happen. We do make it over part of the lake. We descend maybe a foot or so above the water, brushing an immense field of water lilies. About 25 feet from a thick forest at the edge of the lake, we rise again. I want to try and give you a feel for what it's like up there. It's remarkably peaceful when the burners are not on. When they are on, it's hell's fury. But when they're off, you can imagine what it must be like to be Superman, maybe with some time to kill, on his way back from saving the day. Eventually, one of Walt's fellow pilots calls, alerts him to a good landing spot ahead. That's another thing about ballooning. You have to find a place to set down, preferably not in someone's cornfield, definitely not in a thicket of trees. So it's helpful to know when there's a good spot ahead.
Okay, yeah, I see it. Thank you.
We descend. One of the main objectives is to avoid power lines, fence rails, live animals in pens, that sort of thing. After a few minutes, we touch down.
And there we go. It was tight, but we got it.
Once you're on the ground, there's still a lot of work to be done, deflating the envelope, strapping it into a tube, stuffing it into a bag the size of a washing machine, plus securing the propane tanks and driving your guest reporter back to the farm where he left his vehicle. I want to thank Walt Rudy, his wife and crew chief Deb Rudy, and the rest of the crew, again who included his son Ben, Shannon, Heather, and Dale. If you're interested in checking out the balloons for yourself, there's a festival. It's happening again now in Danville today and tomorrow, weather permitting. Balloon launches, an evening glow-up, which I'm told is a spectacular sight, plus bounce houses and other family-friendly activities. It's called Balloons Over Vermilion. You can learn more at their website, balloonsoververmilion.com. That's it for us today. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again on Monday.